Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. This is the meeting of the Audit and Investigation Committee, and call this meeting to order. Get to beat the gavel. Thank you. The first item of the business is the approval of the agenda, and before we do that, let me first speak to the executive session that the Audit and Investigations Committee held first thing this morning, and I want to make a motion that the Audits and Investigation Committee certify, to the best of each member's knowledge, that at this morning's executive session, only such matters as are authorized for discussion in executive session under Board Bylaws, Article 10, and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened, were heard, discussed, or considered by the Board, and in this context, the Board meeting the Audits and Investigation Committee. Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Those members being Mr. Bulger, Ms. Hines, and Mr. Giancola. Ms. Hines was in the meeting this morning, and those are the members that voted. Thank you very much. And could we move for an approval of the agenda? Any additions to the agenda?
Okay.
Good. Second? In favor?
Aye.
Thank you. That's the minutes of October 13th, by the way. Actually, that's the agenda. Now we have to move to the... now let's move forward with the minutes of October 13th, and you've all received the minutes. Are there any corrections to the minutes? And if not, do I have a move that we accept those minutes? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Great. Those motion is approved. The we have an information item this morning from the Office of the Inspector General, and that is the calendar year 2011 activities report by our Inspector General, Helen Liu. And Helen, let me turn to you for that report. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. We are here today to brief you on our work this past year to promote economy, efficiency, and effectiveness, and to detect and prevent fraud and abuse. Board Resolution 2006-18 mandates us to conduct and supervise audits, evaluations, and investigations, promote economy, efficiency, and effectiveness, detect and prevent fraud and abuse, keep the board informed of deficiencies as well as the necessity for and progress of corrective action, and make periodic reports to the board. OIG is made up of two key components, audits and investigations. The audits component is comprised of 24 auditors and is headed up by the assistant IG for audits. There are three audit teams. The contract team conducts reviews of contractors' pricing information for reasonableness, examines contractors' performance in carrying out their responsibilities, and supervises the annual independent financial statement audit. The internal operations team conducts reviews of the authority's programs and operations to determine if they are carrying out their respective responsibilities. Lastly, the information technology team conducts reviews of the authority's IT programs and operations to determine if they are operating as intended. All three audit teams follow government auditing standards. We issue 73 audit reports during 2011. 67 of these were attestations, which are reviews of contractors' pricing information used in pre-negotiation, billing rates, pre-awards, and Buy America Act certifications. We issue 4 performance audit reports and 2 external reports in which we have an oversight role over the financial statement audit. 22 of the 67 attestations we conducted were reviews of contractors' proposals used in pre-negotiations. The contractors submitted proposals with a value of $53.5 million. Based on our analysis of the reasonableness of the pricing information in these proposals, we suggested adjustments of $7.3 million to the Office of Procurement. At least $3.2 million in adjustments were made during negotiations on procurements for items such as consultant services, spare parts, and track circuits. We issue 4 performance audit reports during 2011. Those are listed. The Maximo report and the last one, the WMATA's oversight of selected IT service contractors, that was conducted by our IT team. The bus maintenance report was conducted by our internal operations team. And the report on paratransit revenues and ridership was conducted by our contracts team. The 4 reports contain a total of 24 recommendations. The authority concur on all but one of these. At the end of 2011, 9 of the 24 recommendations were closed, and 15 of them were still open. We are in the process now pulling together what are the status of the outstanding recommendations for the quarterly report that we will give to you next month.
Just one quick question.
Yes.
Thank you. With respect to the paratransit revenues and ridership, what was the scope of the activity that you looked at there on the paratransit revenues and ridership? Was it more an accounting or numeric tracking, the accuracy of data? Is that what that was?
It was a request that one of the board members asked for in terms of the accuracy and the completeness of the revenue and the ridership statistics.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Of the 24 recommendations that we made, 75% of them addressed deficiencies relating to failure to follow or lack of policies and procedures and lack of oversight and monitoring. All 4 of the performance audit reports that we issued in 2011 contained recommendations relating to these two deficiencies. We have repeatedly reported on the failure to follow or the lack of policies and procedures and the lack of oversight and monitoring over the past 5 years. And that sort of pretty much lays it out. As you will see, each one of those years, more than 70% of the deficiencies related to these two areas.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Liu, I really would appreciate if you could break these out into 2 different categories, because in fact failing to follow policies and procedures is one set, has a different set of solutions than the lack of a policy does.
It does.
And so I would appreciate understanding that split over time, and maybe to have you think a little bit about moving forward how that information gets fed to the board, because lack of policies is really us often, and failure to follow is a management issue.
Okay. Well, we would do that in future reports.
Okay.
To assist the authority in addressing these types of deficiencies, we have offered, and some departments and offices have accepted, our internal control and fraud awareness training. In 2011, we provided 6 such sessions, primarily to contracting officers' technical representatives. The investigations component is comprised of 4 investigators and is headed up by the Assistant IG for Investigations, who is also counsel to the IG. The investigation component conducts criminal, civil, and administrative investigations of fraud, waste, and abuse, handles the hotline, investigates or refers complaints to management, the OIG component, or other agencies. And more recently, this group investigates allegation of whistleblower retaliation. During 2011, we received 302 complaints via the hotline, email, regular mail, walk-ins, referrals from audits. Of the complaints received, 90% of them were referred to other departments or offices for follow-up. And I want to point out the top 3 areas that we refer are complaints relating to Smart Trip and Fare Car, bus operators, and station managers. Except for bus operator complaints, the other referrals generally go to the customer relations manager for follow-up. And we do request that they keep us informed on what's the status, what happened to it. Of the four retaliation complaints received, two of them involve safety-related issues. In the three retaliation complaints we completed last year, the complaints were not substantiated. This concludes my presentation, and I will be happy to answer any questions you may have of me.
I have one question, but let me turn to committee members or other board members. Are there any questions that that any of you have? I just had one specific question, and that related to the fraud and abuse training that you referenced, that you've offered that to groups within the agency.
That's right.
So that is a fraud and abuse training that you do from OIG, and is there a fraud and abuse training program within the outside of the OIG in training within the agency?
I'm not aware of one. The internal control training is provided by my audit managers. The fraud awareness training is provided by our investigators. And oftentimes what happens is the internal control training and the fraud awareness training is done as a team to offices that request it. And we've been doing this since 2007.
Carol, sir,
yeah,
did you have a comment on that?
I'm sorry. So just to make a clarification to Ms. Hines, in terms of the policy question you were speaking about, many, not all, but majority of the policies that we have are policies associated with the management and administration of operations. They are not board policy. They would be policy that the general manager would ensure and procedures that are happening. I don't want to say that holistically because there are some policies that are board. And so we are under a very comprehensive effort to amend a lot of those policies. They are very dated. I think, Helen, you would even suggest, I mean, 1982. And so what happens is many times we are in violation of that policy because our procedures have changed and things have changed, and that hasn't caught up. That's not to say that that's all the case, but so there's an effort going on. With respect to the specific question you have addressed, the HR, Gary Baldwin, is putting together with Carol O'Keefe, I believe, an ethical training component to try to address the issue associated with that ethical training throughout the authority at different levels. As you can imagine, they would be different at different levels. You would have that training associated with whatever work you're preparing, and that's an ongoing effort currently. So.
Thank you.
Ms. Kissel is correct in that when we say that they lack policies and procedures, sometimes there is for example, the federal government, the FTA, or General Service Administration, they may issue a policy and procedure update, and that might have not been incorporated in the authority's policy and procedures. Sometimes in our audits or an investigation, we might identify an area that a policy and procedure would be good to have to make it the program or operation be more effective. And that will be part of our recommendation. So that will be an area where they would have to develop policies and procedures.
Thank you. And thank you for your report. That concludes our agenda for today. But I would ask if you could send to the board our work program for 2012 to give the board members a forward look at the activities that you are currently and anticipate focusing on over the course of this year.
I'll be glad to do that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think that concludes the meeting of the